So, the question for you this morning, what were you doing when you were 17? Is there anyone here who's actually 17? No? Okay.
Mentally.
When you were 17, you may well have been learning to drive. You may have been doing exams, getting your first job, and perhaps using your national insurance number for the first time. In fact, when it came through the post and you were 16, you probably didn't even understand what it was, and your parents explained it. But then when you got your first job and they actually said, give us the number, you then somehow remembered it or understood it. What were you doing at the age of 17? Perhaps you were taking on new responsibilities. You were travelling alone and travelling further than you'd ever been before. You were probably also staying up later at night and having more freedom to make those kind of decisions yourself. And maybe at the age of 17, you were praying. And maybe you were planning. Maybe you were dreaming and hoping about your future. And maybe at the age of 17, you were experiencing anxiety. And I want to ask the same question about someone we find in the Bible. What was Joseph doing when he was 17? Shout out some answers, please, from what you remember about the narrative of Joseph. We'll look at the text in a moment, but just from memory, what was Joseph doing when he was 17? Joseph, the son of Jacob. Shout out, short answer, yeah. He was showing up in town in his new coat. Well done, thank you. What else was he doing? Looking after the flock, amen. What else was he doing? Age 17. Bringing reports to his dad about his brothers. What else was he doing? He was dreaming at the age of 17. What else was he doing? Look, I've got a list for you. This is what he was doing. He was tending flocks and he was giving reports. He was getting a sense of identity. He was being hated. He was dreaming. He was being obedient and willing to serve. He was getting a reputation. He was being abused. He was sold as a slave. He was being mourned as a dead man. He was being sold again. And most important of all, he was in the will of God, and he was aware that he was in the will of God. Some of you this morning are a little bit over 17, and some of you are younger than 17. How do you see yourself in the will of God? And when things go slightly wrong, do you still see yourself as being in the will of God? We've got 11 points, but they're real quick points, so don't be anxious, my friends. Let's read together. As we start, let's say this, that Joseph may not have had L plates at the age of 17, but he was certainly learning, and I think that we can learn from him too. So our first slide, tending flocks and giving reports. We're in Genesis 37 and verse 1. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. And this is the account of Jacob's family line. Before we jump in at chapter 37, just remind ourselves that last week in chapter 36, we read the account of the family line of Esau, that is Edom, that was Jacob's brother. But this week we are in chapter 37, and this is the account of Jacob's family line. And here's an interesting thing, because from now on until the end of Genesis, Joseph, not Jacob, Joseph is going to be the key player in the life of this fledgling nation, Israel. But of course, the name Israel has been given to his father Jacob. And this is the account of the family and the nation of Israel, of Jacob moving forward. And unbeknown to Joseph at this stage, Joseph is going to become the ruler of Egypt and, in essence, the savior of his family, the people of God, Israel. And like those two other great shepherds in the Bible, I'm talking about David and Jesus himself, Joseph is working as a shepherd. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. And I would like to say this, whatever else you do when you are 17, it is good to help around the place. And those of you who are parents and grandparents, it's good to encourage young people to be helping around the place. Yes, you may be destined for great things and a high paying job in the future, but at the age of 17, whilst doing all your school stuff and your leisure and your sport and your hobbies, it is good to muck in with everyone else and help with the chores that need doing. Sorting out the rubbish and the recycling. Doing the dishwasher or the pots and pans. Mowing the lawn. Weeding the garden. Walking the dog or washing the car. Looking after younger children or elderly relatives. Doing the shopping or feeding the sheep. Mucking in with everyone else sets you up for your future life. And it gives you the right attitude. Now there is a notion here. If you have been faithful with small responsibilities, God can trust you with greater roles and responsibilities. Joseph may not have had L plates, but he was learning loads by mucking in with the family chores. But here's a question. Should you, and should he, at the age of 17, should you be bringing a bad report about your brothers to your father? The answer? I'm not sure. I suppose it depends on what your brothers have been doing. And more importantly, what is your motivation in telling Dad? Are you just telling tales, or are they doing something that really is wrong and needs stopping? Now, the brothers in question, in the case of Joseph, were in fact half-brothers to Joseph. The sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, two of his father's other wives, but not sons of his own mother, Rachel. So, should you be bringing a bad report about your brothers to your father? I think this calls for great wisdom and for a humble heart. And if there are times when you have to bring reports about your brothers and sisters, make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. Moving on to our second slide, I believe that at the age of 17, Joseph was getting a sense of identity. Let me ask you, who are you and what are you? And what gives you value in life? What gives you a sense of identity? Joseph was at the age when he was probably facing these very questions. Questions that we all face when we are 17. But those questions that never really go away, they keep popping up again when we are 27 and 37, right up to the age of 97 or even 107, if we live that long. What gives us a sense of identity? Verse 3, we're told now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. And I would say this, it was great for Joseph to feel loved by his father. It must have been good for his self-esteem. But the ornate robe on his back was rather like giving him a brand new sports car when he passed his test, knowing that his older brothers only got an old banger when they had passed theirs, when they had been the same age. And for Joseph, the challenge was to develop his character and his relationship with God, and not to allow his sense of identity to be based on the material possessions that his father poured onto him. And in fact, it may well be that Joseph did not even particularly request or desire such an expensive, trendy jacket. But, as you know, it has not gone unnoticed by his brothers. And that leads us on to our next slide, being hated. Verse 4, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Let me ask you, do you feel for Joseph at this point? From what we learn of him over the next few chapters, he probably would have preferred a cheap jacket from Primark, the same as his brothers were wearing, rather than to be hated by his brothers. Let's move on to our next slide, dreaming. Do you ever have dreams? Do you tell people about your dreams? Most dreams are insignificant. I remember some years ago talking to a man and his wife, English man and his wife, who had been missionaries in Ghana for many years, and Ivory Coast and all around that place. And I said to the old man, I said, do you ever dream in the night that you're back in Ghana, back in Africa, back in those situations? And he said to me, no, I don't. I'm more likely to dream in the night that I need a public toilet and I can't find one. You know those dreams, those horrible dreams, you can't find a toilet and it's your body saying, wake up and just get to the bathroom quick. And I'll always remember his response. Most dreams are insignificant or only significant in as much to get us to the bathroom. But Joseph had a dream that was prophetic in nature. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, verse 5, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told this to his father as well as to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So here's a question, should Joseph have told them the content of his dream? If we answer in the human and in the natural, we could argue that by telling them of his dream, he fueled their hatred even further and therefore it was not a wise move. But, on the other hand, we must remember that he did not invent the dream himself, and that it was God at work. So, why shouldn't he tell them his dream over breakfast whilst eating his shredded wheat? But more importantly than this, his telling of the dream is an integral part of the narrative. God has a plan to get Joseph to Egypt, and this is all part of God's plan. And as we move on to slide number 5, we'll see that he wasn't arrogant and boastful. On the other hand, he was being obedient and willing to serve. As we move on, I would like to suggest that even though Joseph is the favourite son, he has not allowed it to go to his head. As we have already said, he was happy to muck in with everyone else when jobs needed doing. And in verse 12 we read this: his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." And I want you please to have a look at Joseph's response, because it is not a typical 17-year-old's response. He does not say, "Do I have to?" He doesn't say, "I've got revision to do." He doesn't say, "I'm tired." He doesn't even say, "I don't want to get my new jacket dirty." And he doesn't say, "I'm updating my social media presence." Instead, look in the text. "Very well," he replied. Despite his favored son's status, we see in Joseph an obedient heart and a willingness to serve. So Jacob said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then Jacob sent him off to the valley of Hebron. And when he arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing the flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. And this moves us on to our next slide: getting a reputation. Have you ever been labelled? Can you just raise your hand if you have ever been labelled? Have you ever been given a nickname? Sometimes these labels and these nicknames, they can be cruel and unfair. And Joseph's brothers had an unkind nickname for Joseph, and we see it here in verse 19. This was their nickname for him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. And that leads us on to the next slide: being abused. Because you see, the danger with nicknames and labels is that if we label people and nickname them, we see the person according to the label, and we no longer see them as our own brother or sister. And this is what plays out. The verse 20, please. "Come now, let's kill him, this dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. And let's say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." And Reuben said this to rescue him from them and to take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and they threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. And we see how jealousy and hatred can lead to abuse. They are abusing their own brother who has kindly brought them a ready meal which they are about to eat. But there's no word of gratitude for the meal, just hatred and abuse. Let me ask you, could you honestly have eaten a meal brought by your own brother, knowing that you have stripped him almost naked and dumped him in a cistern? And my friends, the story gets worse. Slide number 8, sold as a slave. Verse 25 says, as they sat down to eat their meal, the one we presume that Joseph had brought them, they looked up and they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. And their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come on, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed. His brothers agreed. But I want you to have a look, please, again at that verse 27. Just look again at what Judah said to his brothers. "Joseph is our brother and our own flesh and blood, so let's sell him as a slave." Does that, my friends, make any sense to you? If he is their brother, then how is slavery a much better option than death? In the human and in the natural, this is an awful thing to do. This is horrific, and yet it is all part of God's plan to get Joseph to Egypt. Verse 28 we read, "So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt." Yes, Joseph's own brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites. And who were the Ishmaelites? The descendants of Abraham's son Ishmael by the slave woman Hagar. So Joseph was sold by his brothers and people trafficked by his distant cousins. And when Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and he said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" We have to understand that Reuben was not party to this latest development, as he had not been there at the time of the transaction with the Ishmaelites. We do not know where he had gone to, but we do see that he returns. And if you remember, it was Reuben who had said in verse 21, "Let's not take his life," because he planned to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. Reuben was not part of his plan to sell Joseph as a slave, but by the time he returns, it is too late now to do anything about it. This is bad news for Reuben, worse news for his father, and even worse news for Joseph. Albeit that God has a plan to turn things around. Sometimes when we read scripture, it's like watching a film. And terrible things are happening during the film, but it all turns out okay, even wonderful in the end. And because the film only lasts an hour and a half, and then you go and make yourself a cup of tea, you kind of forget the suffering and the pain that went on in the middle of the film. And as you're watching this narrative of Joseph, yes, he's going to become the ruler of Egypt. He's going to become a very well-paid, very famous person. But right now, there is such suffering and such pain. And we need to ask ourselves, are we able to see God's plan in situations which otherwise seem so hopeless? When I say hopeless, let's move on to slide number 9. Being mourned. In verse 31 we read, then they got Joseph's robe, they slaughtered a goat, they dipped the robe, the blood, and they took the ornate robe back to their father, and they lied to their father, and they said, we found this, examine it to see whether it is your son's robe. He recognized it and said, it is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. And then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and his daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. So his father wept for him. As expected, Jacob has not taken the news well. And by looking ahead to future chapters, I have calculated that it will be at least 22 years before Jacob sees his son Joseph again. 22 years, and I've got the calculation with me if anyone wants to have a look at it. So yes, we could say, poor, poor Joseph. Perhaps we should say, poor, poor Jacob. Let's move on to our next slide, number 10, being sold again. Under point number 2, if you remember, we said that 17-year-old Joseph was forming a sense of identity. And if you remember, we said that the challenge was to develop his character and his relationship with God, and not to allow his sense of identity to be based on the material possessions that his father kept pouring on him. And now that he is about to be sold, not for the first time, but for the second time, we see the importance of that character formation. Why do I say that? Because if your sense of identity is in your material possessions and privilege, then what happens to your sense of identity when your possessions and privileges are ripped away from you? If your sense of identity is in the ornate robe that is on your back, what happens to your sense of identity when that very robe is torn from your back? And after your possessions and position and privileges have been stolen from you, your very freedom and dignity is also stolen from you in the action of being sold as a slave. You are sold as an object, And in the case of Joseph, not once, but twice. Look in verse 36, please. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. This brings us to our last slide, number 11, being in the will of God. We've went through this narrative of Joseph being sold twice. What a horrific end to a horrendous sequence of events. And yet, I believe that Joseph's sense of identity had never been in his favored son status, nor in his expensive fancy robe, but in his relationship with God. And we will see this in 8 chapters' time when he has become the ruler of Egypt and reveals himself to his brothers. We'll just have a sneak preview, if you're willing. We'll jump on to Genesis 45 and look at verse 4 to 7. Joseph said to his brothers, when he revealed himself to them, "Come close to me." When they'd done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing wheat. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Do you see Joseph's attitude here and that sense that he is aware of being and having been in the will of God? What a transformation when we can look at our present circumstances and situations and focus on saying, "God, I want to be in your will." And I want to ask you a question. Do you see a foretaste of Jesus in the life of Joseph? Did you see any foretaste, any similarities? Let me tell you some of the ones I came up with. First up, both of them were the most beloved son of their father. Is that true? Both were sold for silver. Is that true? Both were betrayed by their own people, by the very people who should have been defending them and looking out for them. Both were sold by their own people. Both were mocked for simply repeating the revealed word of God, the plan of God. And both were sent ahead to bring salvation to those who could not save themselves. And if you think about it, to a pagan world, looking on, both in the time of Joseph and equally in the time of Jesus, to a pagan world, looking at it without the eyes of faith, it truly looked as if there was no hope and no future. But Joseph said about himself, "God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." And Apostle Peter said something similar about Jesus on the day of Pentecost, the words that we find in Acts chapter 2. "Let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." We said earlier that we see in Joseph an obedient heart and a willingness to serve. When his father Jacob told him to go to his brothers, he simply replied, "Very well," and obeyed. And in the book of Romans, we read about Jesus. Romans 5 verse 1. Read about Jesus. Through the obedience of the one man, referring to Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Joseph was obedient and he served. And he did the will of his father. Jesus was obedient and he served, doing the will of his father. Joseph may not have had L plates at the age of 17, but he was certainly willing to learn. He learned to trust himself to the will of God. And I believe, my friends, that we too must learn this secret, to trust ourselves to the will of God. And let's not excuse ourselves because we are not 17 years old. Whether we are 7 or 17 or 27 or 37 or 97 or 107, let us learn to trust ourselves to the will of God. Amen.